Stephen went to Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and talked about how that we have spiritual Israel. Now, I agree with that. He says we're all, or have, all are, or have been slaves to sin. And so he acted like that meant that Deuteronomy 5:15 would apply to us and we still keep the Sabbath. No. This doesn't, it isn't talking about being a slave to sin. Yes, people are slaves to sin, but that's not what this is talking about. This says, wherefore remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence. Therefore the Lord commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. It's not talking about people who were slaves to sin. It says these were people who were slaves to the Egyptians. And because I brought you out, I commanded you to keep the Sabbath. To him and his ancestors, Stephen and his ancestors, were never slaves in Egypt. Therefore, he never commanded him and his ancestors, the Gentiles, to keep the Sabbath. He's right. People are slaves to sin, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about being a slave, physical slave, literal, in the land of Egypt. It's talking about physical Israel, not spiritual Israel. And that's why I made the point. Physical Israel was the only one commanded to keep the Sabbath. Notice again what it says. I brought you out of Egyptian slavery, therefore I commanded you to keep the Sabbath. In other words, that's the reason he commanded them to keep the Sabbath. That wouldn't apply to the Gentiles. We were never in Egyptian slavery. Then Stephen said that the Sabbath started from creation, not from the time frame of Mount Sinai. But notice these passages. In Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 3, it says, Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all here alive this day. So God made this covenant, which includes the Ten Commandments, with these people at Horeb, not with their fathers. So obviously it wasn't from creation. Nehemiah 9:13-14. Thou camest down upon Mount Sinai, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known to them thy holy Sabbath. Commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses. So was it from the beginning of creation? No, God came down from Mount Sinai and made known unto them the Sabbath. Ezekiel 20:10-12. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt. Brought them into the wilderness. When's that? Is that from creation? No, that's again coming out of Egyptian slavery. It says, And I gave them my statutes, showed them my judgments, which if a man do, shall live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. Notice the sign wasn't between God and everybody, including the Gentiles, but God and the children of Israel, the ones He brought forth out of Egypt, and that's when He gave them the Sabbath. But now, I think we've established from the Bible, Stephen said it was from creation. Of course, the Bible didn't say that. He just said that without support. Now, it is true that God rested on the seventh day of creation, but He never commanded these people to keep the Sabbath until about Exodus chapter 16. But suppose I were wrong about that. Suppose God did institute the Sabbath from the very beginning, from creation. What would that prove? Is there any rule in the Bible that says if there's a law from the beginning of creation, or a law that's established before Mount Sinai, then it still applies today? If that's so, then animal sacrifices still apply today. Remember Genesis 4:4? Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. Animal sacrifices, just about from the day of creation almost, yet Stephen doesn't believe animal sacrifices are still binding today. So now, he's not being deceptive. I'm not accusing him of dishonesty. But what I'm saying is, without realizing it, he doesn't even believe his own argument. He doesn't really even believe his own argument. He just doesn't realize it. He said, here's his argument. The Sabbath was from the beginning, before Mount Sinai. He said those words. Therefore, it's still binding. That was the argument. But he doesn't believe that argument, else he would bind animal sacrifices today. He binds circumcision today, because that was started with Abraham, way before Mount Sinai. He doesn't bind animal sacrifices, therefore he doesn't believe his own argument. And then Stephen turned to Deuteronomy 5, read a number of passages, beginning in about verse 12, that told those people to keep the Sabbath, the rest. He says, Stephen said, therefore we ought to rest. So he turns in the old law, and I agree, Deuteronomy 5 is just a listing there of the Ten Commandments, just like Exodus 20. It told them to keep the Sabbath. It told them to rest. And Stephen says, therefore we ought to do that. Well, let's look back at Deuteronomy 5, and I want you to notice verse 29. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, is about where it talks about keeping the Sabbath. Now, this is in the middle of the listing of the Ten Commandments. And verse 29 says, Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would keep, fear me and keep all my commandments always. that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, if this line of reasoning, Stephen, proves that we got to keep the Sabbath today, then it would also prove we have to keep all the commandments of the Old Testament. Because this is not just binding the Ten Commandments, it's binding all the commandments, Deuteronomy 5:29, including the animal sacrifices, the circumcision, the year of Jubilee. Let me just go to a list of those. Circumcision, the new moon observance, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, the Sabbath year, occurred every 7 years. Year of Jubilee occurred every 50 years, I believe, and the rest the whole year. Laws of animal sacrifices, offerings, Levitical priesthood, many, many other laws, they would all be binding because Deuteronomy, Leviticus, there are other laws besides the Ten. As a matter of fact, if you turn back to Exodus chapter 29, for example, we'll see where it commands animal sacrifices. Notice, we won't read all of this, but enough to give you the idea. Exodus 29:14, the flesh of the bullock and his skin, his dung, shall thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Verse 16, thou shalt slay the ram, thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle the ram upon the altar. Talking about animal sacrifices. Look at verse 39. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. So I guess the priest had to offer two lambs a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. That was part of the same law that he read in Deuteronomy 5, just in a different place. This is about 9 chapters after the Ten Commandments were given. Well, he was reading where the Ten Commandments were given. And it said, in that chapter, Deuteronomy 5, it says you've got to keep all the commandments. What about these, about the animal sacrifices? That was your argument. You read in Deuteronomy 5, they ought to keep the Sabbath and have a rest. Even the critters, he said, ought to do that. But just a few chapters from that, Exodus 20 to Exodus 29, it says they got to keep these animal sacrifices. Why don't you do that? He's not consistent. And then he read in Hebrews 8, verse 10, how that God was going to put my laws into their mind, write them upon their hearts. Now we agree with that, Stephen. We agree that that is what God is going to do with the New Testament law. He's going to put it in our hearts. But if you went on to read in Hebrews 8, after it said, I'll put it in your mind, put it in your hearts, look at verse 13 of Hebrews 8. Where he read was about verses 9 and 10. Look at the last verse in Hebrews 8. It says, in that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth old, waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. When that filter is getting old, it's ready to go. The filter we're talking about. He's saying it's the new covenant and the old covenant. It's an old covenant. Because he said, the new one is new, that makes the old one old. He said, it is vanishing away. So yes, the new one's going to be put in our hearts. Read on 2 or 3 verses, it says the old one would vanish away. And then Stephen said, well, the freedom was freedom from the penalty of their sins. Meaning, though I don't know that he completely thought, meaning that we're not free from the old law and the Ten Commandments, we still have to keep them, but we're free from the penalty of their sins. If that's all the freedom we got, then we still have to do the animal sacrifices. If we didn't get freedom from the law also, then we still have to do the animal sacrifices. We agree we got freedom from penalty of our sins, but is that all? No. We got freedom from the law itself, from the law being binding, else we'd still have to do animal sacrifices. The law talks about freedom from sin many, many places. It also talks about being free from the law. We read in Galatians 5 verse 4. Look at Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, that's the word freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Is he talking about sin? Well, we are being made free from sin by Jesus, but is that what this is talking about? What's the yoke of bondage? No. He says, behold, I, Paul, say thee that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. So what is the freedom from? It's freedom from the law. Freedom from having to do the law. He says the difference is that we're not yoked to the law now, evidently the Israelites were, but we're yoked to the lawgiver, Jesus Christ. Well, I do believe we're yoked to the lawgiver, but is that the only difference? What about all these passages I brought up that Stephen didn't address? What about Romans 7 verse 4? Let's see what if that's the only difference, the fact that we're yoked to the lawgiver. It says we're dead to the law, we're delivered from the law. What do those Greek words mean? That means to be liberated from the bond of something, to be severed from, separated from, discharged from, loosed from. And what law is that? It's the law that says thou shalt not covet, the Ten Commandments. And then notice in Hebrews 7 verse 12, The Bible says, for the priesthood being changed, which is made up of necessity, is changed also of the law. The law has changed. We went from one law to another. I use the illustration of the filter. We'll get back to that. But when we remove the filter, he says, You don't just remove part of the filter, you remove the whole thing. And Pat's trying to keep part of the Ten Commandments. Well, let's address that. I guess we'll get out as good a time as any. Here's the argument, basically. According to Pat's reasoning, if the Sabbath of the Ten Commandments are not binding anymore, then it would be okay to steal, okay to kill, because that's part of the Ten Commandments. But Stephen, if you were listening carefully, you would notice that what we're saying is the New Testament law is binding, and the New Testament law tells us many things that were part of the old law, like don't kill and don't steal, don't commit adultery, idolatry, murder, 1 Kings 6, theft, covetous, drunkenness, Ephesians 6, obey and honor your parents, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, blasphemy, corrupt language, lying. You think about it. The law of Brazil, that country, Brazil, has speed limit laws and drug laws, just like we do. But is it against the law here to break the speed limit law or to take illegal drugs because of the law of Brazil? Because of the law of the United States? Which one? It's not because of the law of Brazil, it's because of the law of the United States. You see the point? We're under the law of the United States. They happen to have some laws in common, but some laws are different. Now let me elaborate some more. Think of the colonies. The United States, as we know it back then, when they were the 13 colonies, were under the law of England. They had to obey the law of England, right? Let's just take two laws of England as an illustration. Pay taxes to the king. That has something to do with the Boston Tea Party paying taxes to the king. Another law, don't murder. Okay? These two laws as an example. Then we had the Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War, and we got out of that law, the law of England, we got the law of the United States. Now, are we under the law of England? No. Not at all. It's been completely replaced. The whole thing's been replaced, Stephen. We got a whole completely new law, the law of the United States. Now, do we have to pay taxes to the King of England? No, because that's not in the new law. That was in the old law that's been done away. What about murder? Is that wrong? That's wrong because the law of the United States says not to murder. Not because the law of England said that. Of course, it's wrong because God's law said not to do it. But I'm just talking about the law of the land as an illustration. So when we took that filter, we replaced the filter completely and put in a new filter. Does the new filter have some of the same characteristics as the old filter? Yes, many of the same. It's not exactly the same. It's a new one. It's clean. It may be a different brand. It may be designed a little differently. It serves the same or similar purpose. But the old filter is completely gone, and we have a new filter that maybe has some of the same characteristics. It's the same way with the Ten Commandments. None of the Ten Commandments are in the New Testament. So all the Ten Commandment law and all the laws about animal sacrifices and circumcision and all that, year of Jubilee, all of those have been done away, Stephen. It just so happens that none of the Ten Commandments are in the New Testament. No word of God, there's a passage for that. No graven image, there's a passage for that. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, there's a passage for that. Honor your father and mother, we've already been over that in Ephesians 6. Continue on, we have passages for all of these, except this one. The law to keep the Sabbath is conspicuously absent from the New Testament law. Now, I'd like to go back to Colossians 2. Stephen needs to address these passages. That's why we're having a, quote, debate format, not a sermon format, because we're supposed to respond to each other's arguments, like I'm trying to do with Stephen's speech. Now, how could you make it any plainer than Colossians 2? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. So these ordinances, these laws ordained by God, were blotted out. Means erased. They were taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. He says, in conclusion, because they were blotted out, nailed to the cross, taken out of the way, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. That's the daily religious observances. Respect of a holy day, that's the 7-yearly feast. The new moon, that's the monthly, or the Sabbath days, that's the weekly. What about these weekly Sabbaths? Blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. Therefore, nobody can say you're not obeying God if you don't keep the Sabbath. Now, how could you make it any plainer than that? I don't know. A parallel passage to that is Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. He, talking about Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, Even the Law of Commandments. How much time? Paul. Contained in ordinances. Notice the similar language to Colossians 2. Ordinances, commandments, law. For to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now what did Jesus do? He abolished something. What did he abolish? It says in his flesh. Remember the other one says nailed to the cross. What did he abolish? The enemy, which was even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's saying exactly the same thing as Colossians 2. Colossians 2 specifies one of the laws, the commandments, that was abolished, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, blotted out, was the weekly Sabbath. Again, I did not write this. Do we love God enough to accept what He says about the matter? He says it's been abolished. And then we went over to Galatians chapter 3, which says we're no longer under the law. Wherefore then serveth the law? We would say, what was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions, in other words, to show people, to give people the knowledge of sin. Till the seed should come. Now, if I said I'm going to use that filter, till I get a new one, that would seem to imply that once I got the new one, I'm going to replace it. That's what we mean by the word till in this way of using it. This law, what was the purpose? It was added till the seed should come. Verse 16 of the same chapter says the seed is Christ. Now that jives with Christ nailing to the cross. He came, he was still, while he was alive, the law was still in effect, but then he nailed it to the cross. That's till the seed should come. And then verse 24 and 25, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Do you see that? It says we're no longer under a schoolmaster. But what was the schoolmaster? Well, verse 24 says the law was our schoolmaster. That means we're no longer under the law. Now, what does that mean to be under something? Look at Galatians, Romans 3:19. It says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. In other words, the law is binding, whatever law you're talking about, upon those who are under that law. The law of the United States is binding upon United States citizens, those who are under the law. This is talking about the law of Moses, the old law, which includes the Ten Commandments. It is talking to people who are under that law. Amen. The Israelites. And this says, we're no longer under the law. Now that's pretty plain and simple. I think, back to Galatians 5, earlier in this speech, we talked about how it was free from that law. Circumcision is not binding. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. That's the same law that said, thou shalt not covet, the one we're dead to be delivered from. You try to be justified by it, which Stephen is trying to do. He's saying it's binding, we still have to keep that. They meet on Saturdays. You are fallen from grace. A Christian who tries to be judged by any part of the old law is fallen from grace. Now think about what you're about to do when you keep the Sabbath. Here's in the same one verse up from that. It says, I testify unto every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. What that's saying is if you're going to try to bind one thing in the old law, like circumcision or the Sabbath, or any other one thing, that you're obligated to keep the whole thing. And we talk about the Sabbath, they were required to do no work on the Sabbath. I think Stephen believes that's still binding. They were not to have a fire. If I understand it correctly, even in weather like this. No cooking on the Sabbath, they did all the cooking the day before, no carrying of a burden, and the breaking of the Sabbath was penalized by death. Now I ask you Sabbath keepers here tonight, are you really keeping the Sabbath? What? Or are you just picking and choosing? You know, you're doing some of the things that they require of the Sabbath. I would venture to say a few of these things you're not doing though. And then back to another chart that I've already been over, Galatians 5 verse 3. Remember, if you're going to be circumcised or if you're going to keep the Sabbath, you're a debtor to do the whole law. What does the whole law say? You got to do circumcision, the new moon observance. You guys do that, Stephen? Feast of unleavened bread, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, the Sabbath year, and the year of Jubilee, the laws of animal sacrifice, as we read in Exodus 29, and offerings. Do you guys do that? Well, if you're going to keep one thing, you're indebted to do the whole thing. Levitical priesthood, many, many other laws, too numerous for me to name. Somebody counted 673 laws in the Old Testament. You have to do all of them if you're going to keep one. All of them. All 673, if that man counted it right. Now I urge you, accept what the Bible plainly says on this. You know, what would God have to say? If he wanted to say the Sabbath is no longer binding, how could he have said it any plainer than passages like Romans 7 and Colossians 2? He couldn't have. There's no way he could have said it any plainer. Thank you very much, and we'll take about a 5 or 10 minute break right now.